entering through the deadly valley of the Dark Lords. If he wanted to eliminate Bane without being held accountable, this would be one of the ways to do it, except for one small thing. "He's going to survive," Cassim stated. "He's stronger than you know."
"If he survives,"
Cordis replied, turning back to the tapestry,
"he will learn the truth. There are no secrets in the valley. Not anymore. Everything of value has been taken, stripped away first by Sith seeking to preserve our order, and later by Jedi seeking to wipe it out. There is nothing left in the tombs but hollow chambers and mounds of dust. Once he sees this for himself, he will give up his foolish idealization of the ancient Sith. Only then will he be ready to join the Brotherhood of Darkness."
The conversation was over, that much was clear. Cordis' words made sense. If this was all part of a larger lesson to make Bane finally abandon the old ways and accept the new Sith Order and Khan's Brotherhood. Yet as he turned and left the room, Cassim couldn't shake the feeling that Cordis was rationalizing events after the fact. Cordis wanted others to believe he had been in control the whole time. But the haunted look the Blademaster had glimpsed gave evidence to the real truth. Cordis had been scared by something Bane had done or said. That thought brought a smile to the Twi'lek's lips. He had every confidence Bane would survive his journey into the Valley of the Dark Lords, and he was very interested to see what would happen when the young man returned. Sirak was moving gingerly. He spent the past 36 hours in the Bacta tank, and though his injuries were completely healed, his body still instinctively reacted to the memories of the wounds inflicted by Bane's saber. Slowly he gathered up his personal effects, anxious to return to the familiar surroundings of his own room and leave the solitude of the med center behind. One of the med droids floated in, bringing him a pair of pants, a shirt, and a dark apprentice's robe. The clothes smelled of disinfectant. It was common practice to sterilize everything before bringing it into the med center. The garments fit, but he knew as soon as he put them on that they had never been worn before. He hadn't seen a single being other than the medroids since being carried unconscious from the dueling ring. Nobody had come to check up on him while he'd floated in the healing fluid. Not Cordis, not Cassim, not even Loke or Yivra. He didn't blame them. The Sith despised weakness and failure. Whenever apprentices lost in the dueling ring, they were left alone with the shame of their defeat until strong enough to resume their studies. It happened to everyone sooner or later, except it had never before happened to Sirak. He had been invincible, untouchable, the top apprentice in every discipline. He'd heard the rumors and the whispers. They called him the Sithari, the perfect being. Only they wouldn't be calling him the Sithari now. Not after what Bane had done to him. He turned to the door and found Githany standing there, watching him. "What do you want?" he asked warily. He knew who she was, though he'd never actually spoken to her. On the day of her arrival, he'd identified her as a potential threat. He'd watched her, and he'd seen her watching him, each measuring and gauging the other, trying to determine who had the upper hand. Sirak was wary of all potential challengers, or so he had thought, until the one student he'd feared the least had brought him down. "I came to speak to you," she answered, "about Bane." He twitched involuntarily at the name, then cursed himself for his reaction. If Githany had noticed, she gave no indication. "What about him?" he asked curtly. "I am curious as to what your plans are now. How are you going to handle the situation?" It was a struggle to summon up his old arrogance, yet somehow he managed a satisfactory sneer. "My plans are my own." "Are you going to seek revenge?" she pressed. "In time, perhaps," he finally admitted. "I can help you." She took a step farther into the room. Even in that single step, Sirak could see that she moved with the sensual grace of a Zeltron veil dancer. He narrowed his eyes suspiciously. "Why?" "I helped Bane defeat you," she said. I recognized his potential from the moment I first saw him. When Cordis and the other masters turned their backs on him, I secretly taught him their lessons in the Force. I knew the dark side was strong in him. Stronger than in me. Stronger than in you. Maybe even stronger than in the masters themselves. Sira couldn't see the point of her story.
You still haven't answered my question. You got what you wanted out of Vane. Why help me now?
She shook her head sadly. I was wrong about Vane. I thought if I helped him grow stronger, he would embrace the dark side. Then I could learn from him and gain power of my own. But he is incapable of embracing the dark side. Everyone else believes his triumph over you was a great victory. Only I recognized it as a failure. She was toying with him, mocking him, and he didn't like it.
No one ever beat me in the dueling ring before Vane, he snapped. How can you call him a failure?
You're still alive, she said simply. When the moment came to strike you down and end your life, he hesitated. He couldn't bring himself to do it. He was weak. Intrigued, Sirach didn't respond right away. Instead, he waited for her to elaborate.
He plotted and planned for months to take his revenge on you, she continued. His hate gave him the strength to surpass you, and at the last instant, he showed mercy and let you live.
I left him alive at the end of our first duel,
Sirach reminded her.
That was no act of mercy, it was an act of contempt. You thought you had utterly destroyed him. If you knew he would rise up to one day challenge you again, you would have taken his life, regardless of the rules of the Academy.
You underestimated him. A mistake I know you won't make again. But Vane does not underestimate you. He knows you are powerful enough to represent a true threat. Yet still, he left you alive, knowing you would one day seek revenge against him.
He's either a weakling or a fool, she concluded, and I want no part of either.
There was some truth in what she said, but Sirach still wasn't convinced.
You change allegiances too quickly, Githany, even for a Sith.
She was silent for a long time, trying to figure out how to answer him. Then suddenly she looked down at the floor, and when she looked up, her eyes were filled with shame and humiliation.
It was Vane who ended this alliance, not me, she admitted, nearly choking on the words.
He abandoned me, she continued, making no attempt to hide her bitterness. He left the Academy. He never told me why. He never even said goodbye. Suddenly everything fell into place. Sirach understood her sudden desire to join with him in a partnership against her former ally. Githany was used to being in control. She was used to being in charge. She was used to being the one who ended things. And she didn't like being on the other side. It was like the old Corellian expression, fear the wrath of a female scorned.
Where did he go?
He asked. The students are saying Cordis sent him out into the Valley of the Dark Lords. Sirach nearly blurted out, then he's dead already. But at the last second, he remembered her admonishment not to underestimate Vane again. Instead, he said,
you expect he will return.
I'm certain of it.
Then, we will be ready.
Sirach promised.
When he comes back, we will destroy him.
As Vane marched across the scorched sand of Korriban's wastelands, he noticed the sun sinking quickly below the horizon. He'd been walking for hours beneath its heat. The small city of Dreshda and the temple that towered over it were far behind him. They had been reduced to mere specks on the horizon. If he was to look back, he would have just been able to make them out in the fading light. He didn't look back. He marched doggedly onward. The blazing heat hadn't slowed him, neither would temperatures that were about to drop to near freezing with the setting of the sun. Physical discomfort, cold, heat, thirst, hunger, fatigue had no significant effect on him, sustained as he was by the power of the Force. Still, he was troubled. He remembered the first time he'd set foot on Korriban. He'd sensed the power of the world. Korriban was alive with the dark side. Yet the feeling had been faint and distant. During his time at the academy, he'd grown so accustomed to the almost subconscious hum that he barely even noticed it anymore. When he'd left the temple and the starport behind, he'd expected that feeling to grow stronger. With each step drawing him closer to the Valley of the Dark Lords, he thought he'd feel the dark side growing in its intensity. Instead, he'd felt nothing. No noticeable change at all. He was only a few kilometers away from the valley's entrance. He could see the shaded outlines of the nearest tombs carved from the stone walls. And still, the dark side was no stronger than a hollow echo. No more than the lingering memory of distant words spoken in the distant past. Pushing his doubts and reservations aside, he redoubled his pace. He wanted to reach the valley before complete darkness. He had grabbed a handful of glow rods before leaving the academy. He could use them to find his way if necessary. Unfortunately, their light would act like a beacon in the darkness, signaling his location to anyone or anything. With his new lightsaber at his side, he was confident he could survive almost any encounter. But there were things that lurked near the tombs whose attention he would rather not attract. The last few rays of light still hung in the air when he finally reached his destination. The Valley of the Dark Lords lay sprawled out before him, hidden beneath the cover of twilight's gloom. He briefly considered stopping for the night and making camp until dawn, then rejected the idea. Day or night would make no difference once he was inside the tombs. He'd have to use the glow rods no matter what time it was. And now that he was finally here, he was too eager to see what he could find to put it off any longer. He chose the nearest temple, the only one he could actually make out in the dim light. Like all the tombs, this one had been dug out from the high stone cliffs that boxed in the valley on either side. The grand archway at the entrance had been built out from the cliff face, but the chambers that housed the remains of the Dark Lord interred within wound their way deep into the rock. As he got closer, he could make out intricate designs carved into the archway. Something was written across the top in letters he didn't recognize. He guessed that the craftsmanship would have been awe-inspiring at one time, but eons of desert winds had worn away most of the detail. He paused on the threshold, taking in the air of forbidden mystery that surrounded the entrance to the tomb. He still sensed no change in the force, however. Stepping up to the entrance, he was shocked to see that the great stone slab of a door had been split asunder. He ran his fingers along the edges of the fissure. Smooth, worn. Whoever had broken the door had done it long ago. Bane stood up straight and marched boldly through the shattered portal. He made his way down the long entrance tunnel, moving slowly through the gloom. Half a dozen meters in, the darkness became absolute. So he pulled out a glow rod and activated it. An eerie blue light filled the tunnel, sending a small swarm of deadly pelco bugs scurrying for refuge beyond the dim circle of illumination. They had been stalking him, closing in from all sides. He could still sense them there, lurking in the shadows all around him. But he wasn't afraid. After all, it wasn't the light keeping them at bay. Pelco bugs, like many of the creatures indigenous to Korriban, were attuned to the Force. They would have sensed Bane's arrival even before he entered the tomb. His power would inevitably draw them in. Yet it also kept them and their paralyzing spines at a safe distance. Instinctively, the Pelco bugs could sense the sheer scope of his power. They were wary of him. They wouldn't come close enough to actually attack him, making them nothing more than a nuisance. Larger predators, like the Tukata, might pose a real threat. But he'd deal with them if and when the time came. Right now, he was more concerned with the potential dangers the builders of the tomb might have left behind. Sith mausoleums were notorious for their fiendishly lethal traps. Bane reached out with the Force, carefully probing the walls, ground, and ceiling in front of him for anything out of the ordinary. He was relieved and slightly disappointed to discover nothing. Part of him had hoped he would stumble across an undiscovered chamber, something the Jedi had missed. He continued down the tunnel, winding his way past various chambers where the wealth and treasures would have been buried with the deceased Dark Lord, along with his still-living lesser servants. The rooms held no interest for him. He wasn't a grave robber. Instead, he continued deeper and deeper until he reached the burial chamber itself. The Pelco bug smashed his progress, endlessly circling just beyond the blue illumination cast by his glow rod. He could hear the high-pitched clicking of the frustrated swarm, powerless to assail their prey, yet irresistibly caught up in the wake of his passing. The burial chamber was easily identifiable by the enormous stone sarcophagus in the center of the room, resting atop a small stone pedestal. It was little more than a blocky shadow on the fringes of the glow rod's light, but it filled him with a sense of both fear and awe. Still using the force to scan for traps, he cautiously approached the tomb, his trepidation growing as the blue light washed over it to reveal more and more details. The stone was carved with symbols similar to those on the crypt's entrance, but these hadn't suffered untold centuries of erosion. They stood out, starkly, brutal, and sharp. He couldn't read the unfamiliar language or identify the Dark Lord from the crest, yet he knew this was the resting place of an ancient and mighty being. He reached the platform. It stood a little higher than his knee. He put one foot on it, then reached out to grip a protruding edge of one of the carved symbols on the side of the sarcophagus itself. He half expected to receive a sharp jolt or shock, but all he felt was cold stone beneath his palm. Using his hold to maintain his balance, he hauled himself up so that he was standing with both feet on the platform, looking down at the top of the tomb. To his horror, he could now see that the stone slab sealing the sarcophagus had been virtually destroyed. Whatever had been inside was gone, replaced by rubble, dust, and a few bits of broken bone that might once have been the fingers or toes of the Dark Lord's skeletal remains. He stepped down from the platform, frustrated but still not willing to give up. Slowly he turned in a great circle, as if he expected to find the stolen remains lying in a corner of the burial chamber. There was nothing. The tomb had been robbed and defiled. Bane hadn't been sure what he expected to find, but it wasn't this. The spirits of the ancient Dark Lords were beings of pure dark side energy. They were as eternal as the Force itself. The spirit would linger for centuries, millennia even, until a worthy successor came along. Or so the texts in the archive had led him to believe. Yet the harsh evidence before him was undeniable. The ancient manuscripts had failed him. He had gambled everything on the truth of their words, even defying Cordis himself, and he had lost. In desperation, he cast his head back and threw his arms to the uneven rock of the ceiling above. "I'm here, Master!" he cried. "I've come to learn your secrets!" He paused, listening for a response. Hearing nothing, he shouted, "Show yourself! By all the power of the dark side, show yourself!" His words reverberated off the walls, sounding empty and hollow. He dropped to his knees, his arms falling to his sides and his head slumping forward. As the echo died away, the only sound was the shrill clicking of the Pelco bugs. Kopej spit on the ground as he surveyed the camp. He was surrounded by an army, but it was an army of inferiors. Everywhere he looked, he saw the minions of the Sith, battle ragers, assassins, and apprentices. But there were precious few Sith masters. The seemingly endless war against the Jedi on the battlefields of Rusan was taking a heavy toll on Khan's Brotherhood of Darkness. Without reinforcements, they would be forced to retreat, or be wiped out by General Hoth and his hated Army of Light. The heavyset Twi'lek rose to his feet, spurred to action by the realization that something had to be done. He made his way through scattered pockets of soldiers, noticing how many were injured, exhausted, or simply defeated. By the time he reached the entrance to Lord Khan's tent, the contempt he felt for his so-called brothers had reached a boiling point. When Kopej entered, Lord Khan took one look at him and dismissed his other advisers with a sharp wave of his hand. They filed out, none of them daring to come too close. "What is it, my old friend?" Khan asked. His voice was charming as ever, but his eyes were wide and wild, like a hunted beast.
"Have you seen what passes for our army out there?"
Kopej snarled, poking a thumb over his shoulder as he walked slowly forward.
"If this is all we have to stand against Lord Hoth, we may as well burn our black robes and start practicing the Jedi Code."
"We have reinforcements coming," Lord Khan assured him. "Two more full divisions of foot soldiers, another corps of snipers, half a platoon of repulsor craft armed with heavy guns. There are many who are drawn to the glory of our cause, more and more each day. The Brotherhood of Darkness cannot fail."
Kopej took a little comfort in his promises. Lord Khan had always been the strength of the Brotherhood of Darkness, a man who had rallied the Dark Lords to a single cause through the greatness of his personality and vision. Now, however, he looked like a man on the edge. The strain of constantly battling the Jedi had left him frazzled. Kopej shook his head in disgust.
"I am not one of your sycophantic advisors," he said, his voice rising. "I won't grovel and scrape before you, Lord Khan. I won't heap praise on your fool head when I can see with my own eyes that you are leading us to our destruction." "Keep your voice down," Khan snapped. "You will destroy the morale of our troops." "They have no morale left to destroy,"
Kopej shot back, though he did lower his volume.
"We can't defeat Jedi with ordinary soldiers. There are too many of them and not enough of us."
"By us, you mean those worthy of joining the ranks of the Dark Lords," Khan replied.
He sighed and stared down at the holomap spread out on the table before him.
"You know what you have to do,"
Kopej told him, his voice losing some of the anger. He had chosen to follow Khan. He wouldn't abandon him now. But he wasn't about to sit idly by and face certain defeat.
"We face an army of Jedi Knights and Masters. We can't stand against them without our own Masters from the Academy. The students, too. All of them."
"They are mere apprentices," Khan protested.
"They are the strongest of our order,"
Kopej reminded him.
"We both know even the lowliest students on Korriban are stronger than half the so-called Dark Lords here on Rusan."
"Cordis's work is not yet complete. The students there still have so much to learn,"
Khan insisted, though without much force.
"So much untapped potential. The Academy represents the future of the Sith."
"If we cannot defeat the Jedi here on Rusan, then we have no future,"
Kopej insisted. Lord Khan clutched his head with his hands, as if a great pain threatened to burst his skull in two. He began to tremble in the grip of some terrible palsy. Kopej involuntarily stepped back. It only took a few seconds for Khan to regain his composure and lower his hands. The haunted look in his eyes was gone, replaced by the calm self-assurance that had drawn so many to the Brotherhood in the first place.
"You're right, old friend," he said.
The words were smooth and easy. He spoke as if a great weight had been lifted from him. He radiated confidence and strength. He seemed to glow with a violet aura, as if he were the very embodiment of the dark side. And suddenly, inexplicably, Kopej was reassured.
"I will send word to Cordis," Khan continued, the force emanating from him in palpable waves. "You are right. It is time for those at the Academy on Korriban to truly join the ranks of the Sith."
Chapter 19.
Bane had never been so hungry in his life. It twisted his stomach into knots, causing him to hunch over as he trudged slowly across Korriban's wastes toward Dreshta. For 13 days he had searched the tombs in the Valley of the Dark Lords, sustaining himself only with the Force and the hydration tablets he'd brought along for the desert journey. He never slept but rested his mind from time to time through meditation. Yet for all its power, even the Force couldn't create something from nothing. It could ward off starvation for a time, but not forever. Twice he'd been set on by packs of Tukata, the guardian hounds that prowled the crypts of their former masters. The first time he'd driven them away with the Force, seizing the body of the alpha male and hurling it into the rest of the pack, injuring several of the beasts. They'd scurried away with high-pitched howls that sent shivers down his spine. The second attack had been far bloodier. While exploring one of the most recent tombs, he'd found himself surrounded by a dozen Tukata, a pack twice the size of the first. He'd unleashed his lightsaber on them, slicing through flesh and bone. When the pack finally broke and fled, only 4 of the 12 Tukata still lived. After that, the Tukata left him alone, which was a good thing, because he was no longer sure he'd be able to hold them off if they attacked again. To fuel his muscles for the ongoing search through tomb after tomb, he'd overtaxed his body's reserves, literally devouring himself from the inside out. Now he was paying the price. He could have eased his suffering by slipping into a meditative trance, slowing his heartbeat and vital functions to preserve his energy. Yet in the end, that would accomplish nothing. Nobody would come to find him. And eventually, even a state of hibernation would end in a slow, if relatively painless, death. Death was not an option he was ready to consider. Not yet. Despite his futile search, despite the crushing disappointment, he wasn't ready for that. Not if it meant that the truth he'd discovered would die with him. So he endured the pain and willed his rapidly failing flesh to take him back to the academy. It had taken him only a day to walk to the valley at the beginning of his quest. He was now on the third day of his trip back. He had been strong and fresh when he'd first set out. Now, he was famished and weak. But there was more to his slowed pace than mere physical wanting. Before, he had been buoyed by expectation. Now, he was weighed down by the burden of failure. Cordis had been right. The ancient Dark Lords of Korriban were gone. Nearly 3,000 years had passed between the time the Sith had been driven from Korriban by Revan and the day Khan's Brotherhood of Darkness officially reclaimed this world for the Order. In that time, the legacy of the original Sith had been completely wiped away. He'd gone into the desert seeking enlightenment, but found only disillusionment. Korriban was no longer the cradle of darkness. It was a husk, a withered, desiccated corpse that had been picked clean by scavengers. Cordis had been right, yet Bane now understood that he was also very, very wrong. Bane hadn't found what he was looking for in the tombs, but in the long trek back across the desert, his mind had finally become clear. Hunger, thirst, exhaustion, the physical suffering cleansed his thoughts. It stripped away all his illusions and exposed the lies of Cordis and the Academy. The spirits of the Sith were gone from Korriban forever. But it was Lord Khan's Brotherhood of Darkness, not the Jedi, who were to blame. They had twisted and perverted the ancient order of the Sith. The Academy's teachings flew in the face of everything Bane had learned in the archives about the ways of the dark side. Khan had cast aside the true power of the individual and replaced it with the false glory of self-sacrifice in the name of a worthy cause. He sought to destroy the Jedi through might of arms rather than cunning. Worst of all, he proclaimed that all were equal in the Brotherhood of the Sith. But Bane knew equality was a myth. The strong were meant to rule, the weak to serve. The Brotherhood of Darkness stood for everything that was wrong with the modern Sith. They had fallen from the true path. Their failure was the reason the spirits of the Dark Lords had vanished. None on Korriban, not master, not apprentice, had been worthy of their wisdom. None worthy of their power. They had simply faded away, scattered like a handful of dust cast across the desert sand. Bane could see the truth so clearly now. Yet Cordis and the others were forever blind. They followed Khan, as if he had bound them up with some secret spell. A faint gust of wind brought the sound of distant voices to his ears. Glancing up, he was surprised to see the temple of the Academy looming ahead of him, less than a kilometer away. Caught up in his philosophical ramblings, he hadn't realized how far he'd come. He was close enough to see small figures moving at the base of the building, servants or possibly a handful of students from the academy out wandering the surrounding grounds. One of them noticed him approaching and scurried back inside.
probably to deliver news of his return to Cordis and the other masters. Bane wasn't sure what kind of reception they'd give him. In truth, he didn't care, as long as they brought him food. Beyond that, they were of no use to him anymore. He despised them all, masters and apprentices alike. They were no better than the Jedi who had looted Korriban 3 millennia before. The Academy was an abomination, a testament to how far the Sith had fallen from the true ideals of the dark side. Bane alone understood this. He alone saw the truth, and he alone could lead the Sith back to the way of the dark side. He wouldn't be foolish enough to say so, of course. The Brotherhood would never follow him. Neither would Cordis or any of the others at the Academy. Weak and ignorant as they were, they could still overwhelm him with their numbers. If he was to restore the Sith to their true glory, he would need an ally. Not one of the masters, they were all too close to Khan, and the apprentices were nothing but groveling servants blindly following their masters. They had no real understanding of the dark side. They didn't sense that they were being led down a false path. Not a single one of them was worthy. No, Bane corrected himself. There was one. Githany. She wasn't intimidated by the masters. She had defied them to train Bane. The fact that she'd done it for her own selfish reasons only offered further proof that she understood the true nature of the dark side. He wished now that he had spoken to her before he'd left the Academy. He could have at least tried to explain why he had to go. She had been disappointed in him for letting Serac survive, rightfully so. But in the end, he was the one who had turned away from her. He was the one who left her behind while he went in search of Korriban's hidden secrets. What could she possibly think of them now? As he reached the edge of the temple grounds, the scents of the midday meal being prepared in the kitchens wafted out to him, driving all other thoughts from his mind. Mouth watering and stomach rumbling, he hobbled up the steps toward the ever-nearing prospect of food. The news that Bane had returned did not sit well with Cordis. The timing couldn't have been worse. Lord Khan had sent an urgent message. Everyone from the Academy was to come to Rusan to join the battle against the Jedi. The apprentices were all to be presented with lightsabers and given seats in the Brotherhood of Darkness, elevating them to the ranks of the Dark Lords of the Sith. It wouldn't do to show up with one of his most powerful students being as defiant as Bane had been at their last meeting. It would be even worse if Bane spurned the offer and went off on his own, disobeying the command to go to Rusan. Lord Khan had managed to keep the Brotherhood together, but it was an alliance that was always on the verge of disintegrating. In the face of their repeated failure to drive the Jedi from Rusan, the refusal of one prominent Sith to fall into line might be all it took to make everything unravel. One defection could lead to others, and things would return to a state of chaos. Sith fighting Sith as the various Dark Lords sought to dominate and destroy their rivals. The Jedi would survive and rebuild their order, all the while laughing at the foolishness of their mortal enemies. If only Bane had perished out in the wastes of Korriban. Unfortunately, he had returned, and Cordis couldn't do anything to eliminate him now. Not after Khan's directive. They had need of every lightsaber and every Sith, especially one as strong as Bane. For the sake of the Brotherhood, for the sake of Lord Khan's glorious vision, Cordis would have to find some way to make amends. News that Bane had returned spread quickly through the Academy. Serac wasn't surprised. If anything, he was relieved. When Master Cordis had informed the students they would soon be shipping out to Rusan, he'd feared they would leave before Bane returned, denying him his vengeance. Instead, fortune had smiled on him. He'd have to act quickly, though. Once they left Korriban, it would be too late. Lord Khan would have all the apprentices swear vows of loyalty and fealty to each other when they joined the Brotherhood. Killing his enemy after that would be an act of betrayal, punishable by death. He wanted revenge, but not at the cost of his own life. He knew Yivra and Lokay would help him, but he'd need more than them to destroy an enemy as strong as Bane. He needed Githany.
Knocking on the door to her room, he waited for her to call enter before going in. She was lying on her bed, looking casual and relaxed. In contrast, Sirach felt taut as a wire stretched beyond its limit.
"He's back,"
was all he said. When? She didn't need to ask who he was talking about.
"He staggered in an hour ago. Maybe less. He went straight to the kitchens."
"The kitchens?" She seemed surprised, or offended. No doubt she'd expected him to come to her first.
"He's vulnerable,"
Sirach pointed out, his hand dropping to the hilt of his newly acquired lightsaber.
"Half-starved, exhausted. We should go after him now."
"Don't be stupid," she snapped. "What would the masters do to us if we chopped him down in the kitchens?" She was right.
"Do you have a plan?"
She nodded. "Tonight, wait in the archives. I'll bring him to you there."
"I'll bring Yivra and Loke."
A sour grimace puckered up her face. "I suppose we'll need them," she conceded, making no effort to hide her distaste. Sirach's mouth twisted into a cruel grin.
"I only ask one more thing. Let me be the one who deals the killing blow."
Bane collapsed into his bed, his belly full to bursting. He'd gorged himself in the kitchen, tearing into the food with the manners of a Gamorrean soldier at the barracks trough. He'd stuffed himself with everything in sight until his ravenous hunger was sated. It was only then that he remembered he hadn't actually slept in nearly 2 weeks. Hunger had given way to exhaustion, and he'd wandered from the kitchen to his room in a daze. Within seconds, he had dropped into a deep, dreamless sleep. He woke several hours later to a knocking at his door. Still groggy, he forced himself to his feet, lit a glow rod, and opened the door. Cordis was standing in the hall. He barged in without waiting for an invitation, closing the door behind him. Bane was too busy trying to shake off the last vestiges of sleep to protest.
"Welcome back, Bane," the master said. "I trust your journey was educational."
Puzzled at Cordis's cordial tone, Bane only nodded.
"I hope you understand now why I let you go," Cordis said.
"Because you were too much of a coward to try and stop me,"
Bane thought, but didn't say anything aloud.
"This was the final phase of your training,"
the master continued.
"You had to understand why we have abandoned the old ways. This is a new age, and you could understand that only once you recognized the old age was truly gone."
Bane maintained his stoic silence, not agreeing with Cordis, but unwilling to argue the point.
"Now that you have learned your final lesson, the Academy has nothing left to teach you."
On that point, at least, they were in complete agreement.
"You are no longer an apprentice, Bane. You are now fit to join the ranks of the Masters. You are now a Dark Lord of the Sith."
He paused, as if expecting some kind of reaction. Bane stood still as the stone statues he'd seen guarding the tombs of the ancient Sith in some of the older crypts. Cordis cleared his throat, breaking the uncomfortable silence.
"I know Lord Cassim has already given you a lightsaber. I too have a gift for you."
He held out his hand, a lightsaber crystal in his palm. When Bane hesitated, Cordis spoke again.
"Take it, Lord Bane."
He put a special emphasis on the new title. It sounded sour in Bane's ears, an empty honor bestowed by a fool who believed himself a master. But he said nothing as the other continued speaking.
"This synthetic crystal is stronger than the one powering your lightsaber now,"
Cordis assured him.
"And it is much, much stronger than the natural crystals the Jedi use in their own weapons."
Moving slowly, Bane reached out and took it in his hand. It was cold to the touch at first, but as he gripped it, the six-sided stone quickly grew warm.
"The timing of your return from the wastes couldn't have been better,"
Cordis continued.
"We are making preparations to leave Korriban. Lord Khan has need of us on Rusan."
All the Sith must be united in the Brotherhood of Darkness if we are to defeat the Jedi.
The Brotherhood will fail,
Bane stated,
boldly declaring what he knew to be true, only because he knew the other wouldn't believe.
Khan does not understand the dark side. He is leading you down the path of ruin.
Cordis drew in a sharp breath,
then spat it out in an angry hiss.
Some might consider that talk to be treason, Lord Bane. You would do well to keep such ideas to yourself in the future.
He wheeled away and strode angrily to the door, wrenching it open. His reaction was exactly as Bane had expected. The tall master spun back to face Bane one more time.
You may be a Dark Lord now, Bane, but there's still much about the dark side you do not understand. Join the Brotherhood, and we can teach you what we know. Reject us, and you will never find what you seek.
The master stalked out. Bane watched silently as the door swung shut behind him. Cordis was wrong about the Brotherhood. But he was right about one thing. There was still much about the dark side Bane needed to understand. And there was only one place in the galaxy he could go to learn it.
Chapter 20.
Bane crawled back into bed after Cordis left. He thought about going to see Githany, but he was still exhausted.
Tomorrow,
he thought as he drifted off to sleep. Several hours later, he was again disturbed by a knock on his door. This time he felt more refreshed when he woke. He sat up quickly and lit a glow rod, casting the room in soft light. There were no windows in his chamber, but he guessed it must be close to midnight, well past curfew. He rose to his feet and went to greet his second uninvited visitor. This time he was not disappointed when he opened the door.
Can I come in?
Githany whispered. Bane stepped aside, catching the scent of her perfume as she brushed past him. As he silently closed the door behind her, she walked over to the bed and sat down on the edge. She patted the space beside her, and Bane dutifully sat down, turning slightly so he could look her in the eye.
Why are you here?
He asked.
Why did you leave?
She responded.
It's hard to explain. You were right about what happened with Sirak. I should have finished him, but I didn't. I was foolish and weak. I didn't want to admit that to you.
You left the academy so you wouldn't have to face me.
The words sounded compassionate, as if she were seeking to understand him, but Bane could sense the contempt beneath them.
No,
he explained.
I didn't leave because of you. I left because you were the only one who recognized my failing. Everyone else congratulated me for my great victory, Cassim, Cordis, everyone. They were blind to the true nature of the dark side, as blind as I had been, until you opened my eyes. I left because the Academy had nothing more to offer me. I went to the Valley of the Dark Lords, hoping to find the answers I couldn't find here.
And you never thought to come tell me all this?
Her voice had changed. The veil of false compassion was gone. Now she just sounded angry. Angry and hurt. Bane was relieved that she still felt strongly enough about him to reveal some genuine emotion.
I should have come to you, he admitted. I acted rashly. I let my anger at Cordis drive me away.
She nodded. Passion and reckless actions were something he knew Githany could relate to.
I've answered your question, he said. Now you answer mine. Why are you here?
She hesitated, her teeth biting down softly on her lower lip. Bane recognized the unconscious gesture. It meant she was lost in thought, trying to sort something out.
Not here,
she said at last, rising stiffly from the bed.
I have something to show you. In the archives.
Without looking back to see if he was following, she made her way from his room and into the dim hall beyond, moving quickly. Bane scrambled to his feet and trotted after her, breaking into a jog to keep up.
She stared straight ahead, her boots making crisp snaps as they struck the stone floor with each brisk stride.
The sharp sound echoed in the empty halls, but Githany appeared not to care. Bane could tell that something was bothering her,
but he had no idea what it could be. They found the door to the archives open. Githany didn't seem surprised. She passed right through without slowing down. Bane paused for only an instant before following her. At the far side of the room, beyond the rows of shelves, she stopped and turned to face him. There was an expression he couldn't quite decipher on her haughty but beautiful features. He crossed to the middle of the room, then stopped short when she held up her hand, palm extended.
"Githany," he said, perplexed. "What's going?"
His words were cut off by the hollow boom of the archive door slamming shut behind him. He whirled around to see Sirach, flanked by Yivra and Loke. The Zabrak's pale yellow lips were pulled back in a cruel smile so wide it gave him the appearance of a grinning skull. Bane couldn't help but notice the lightsaber handles dangling from the belts of all three. When Githany spoke from behind him, he had to resist the urge to turn and face her. It wouldn't be wise to expose his back to the Zabrak trio.
"Why did you follow me, Bane?" she asked, her voice a mixture of anger, disgust, and regret. "How could you be so stupid? Didn't you realize you were walking into a trap?"
Githany had betrayed him. The conversation in his room had been a test, one that he'd failed. He knew her well enough to expect something like this. He should have been wary of a trap. Instead, he'd been a blind and obedient fool. He knew he'd brought this on himself. Now, he had to discern a way out.
"Is this what you want, Githany?"
he asked, trying to stall for time.
"She wants what all Sith want,"
Sirach answered for her.
"Power. Victory. She knows to side with the strong."
"I'm stronger than he is,"
Bane told Githany. "I proved that in the dueling ring."
"There's more to strength than physical prowess,"
Sirach replied, igniting his lightsaber. It was the double-bladed variety. Bane's eyes were focused squarely on the bright red blade, but he heard the hiss as the other two Zabrak followed suit. Githany, however, still hadn't fired up her whip.
"Strength means more than just the ability to use the Force,"
Sirach continued, starting to advance.
"It means intelligence, cunning, ruthlessness."
"You know how easily I defeated you in the ring,"
Bane said, finally speaking directly to Sirach, though his words were still meant for Githany.
"Are you so certain you can defeat me now?"
4 against 1, Bane. And you left your lightsaber back in your chambers. I like those odds."
Bane laughed and turned his back on Sirach. The Zabrak was close enough to lunge in and kill him with one blow, but Bane was gambling he would hold back, wary of being lured into a trap. It was a dangerous gamble, but he wanted to be looking directly into Githany's eyes when he spoke what might be his last words.
"This fool actually believes you brought me here for his sake," he said to her.
Behind him, he could sense Sirach's confusion and uncertainty. No attack came yet. Githany met his stare with a cold, unflinching gaze and didn't answer. But her teeth worried her lower lip.
"We both know why you brought me here, Githany,"
he said, speaking quickly. Sirach wouldn't wait for long.
"You don't want to side with Sirach. You've been plotting ways to get me to kill him ever since you first arrived."
"Enough!" Sirach shouted. Bane threw himself forward, rolling out of the way at the last second as the double-bladed lightsaber sliced a deep furrow into the spot where he'd been standing. As he rolled to his feet, he saw Githany move. When she tossed his lightsaber to him, he was already extending his hand and using the Force to guide the hilt into his grasp. The weapon flared to life, and he turned just in time to block Sirach's charge. Yivra and Loke were a few meters behind, rushing forward to join the fray. Bane counterattacked, slashing down at Sirach's legs. The Zabrak parried the blow, and their blades collided with a burning hum. On the edge of his awareness, Bane heard the sound of Githany's whip igniting. A quick flurry caused Sirach to retreat. Bane fainted, as if he was going to press forward, then took a step back, opening a full meter of space between them. It gave him just enough time to cast out his arm in the direction of the unsuspecting Yivra. Catching her up with the Force, he hurled her against one of the nearby shelves hard enough to splinter the wood. She crumpled to the floor,
dazed. Before she had a chance to rise, Githany lashed out with her whip and ended the Zabrak female's life. Bane barely had time to register her death before Loke was on him. The redskin Zabrak was overmatched, but his grief and rage empowered him, and he drove his much larger opponent back with a brutal series of desperate slashes and strikes. Staggering back, Bane was almost too distracted to see Sirak unleashing a bolt of crackling blue lightning at him. At the last second, he twisted and caught the potentially lethal blast with the blade of his lightsaber, absorbing its energy. The move had been one of instinct and last resort, and it had left him vulnerable to a single quick thrust from Loke. But Githany's whip was snapping and cracking at Loke's eyes and face, and his blade was busy frantically warding off the blows. Bane turned his attention back to Sirak, who hesitated. At that moment, there was a scream from Loke. He had misjudged the erratic path of Githany's energy whip and lost an eye. A second scream would have followed, but she gashed open his throat, the burning tip of her weapon searing his vocal cords, so he died in agonized silence. Outnumbered, Sirak extinguished his lightsaber, dropped it to the ground, and fell to his knees.
"Please, Bane," he begged, his voice cracking. "I yield. You are a true Sith Lord. I know that now."
Githany whispered,
"End it now, Bane."
Bane advanced until he towered over his groveling foe. Suddenly, it wasn't just Sirak he saw before him. It was everyone he'd ever struck down. Every life he'd ever taken. Forharg the McCurth, the nameless Republic soldier he killed in Apatros. His father. He was responsible for their deaths. Even now, they weighed on him. Guilt over Fulharg's death had left him numb to the dark side for months. It had shackled him like iron. He didn't want to suffer through that again.
"Listen to me," Sirak pleaded. "I'll serve you. I'll do anything you command. You can use me. I can help you. Please, Bane, have mercy."
Bane steeled himself.
"Those who ask for mercy," he answered coldly, "are too weak to deserve it."
His blade decapitated his helpless foe. The torso remained upright for a full second. The charred edges of the cauterized stump, where the head had once been attached, still smoking. Then it toppled forward. Staring down at it, Bane felt only one thing.
Freedom.
The guilt, the shame, the weight of responsibility had all vanished in that single decisive act. He had opened himself to the dark side completely. It surged through him, filling him with confidence and power.
"Through power, I gain victory. Through victory, my chains are broken."
He turned to see Githany smiling, her eyes filled with hunger.
"I have all people should have known better than to underestimate you," she said. "You saw me take your lightsaber. That's why you followed me."
"No," Bane replied, still heady from the rush of killing his enemy.
"I didn't see anything. I was just guessing."
For a brief moment, her expression darkened. Then she burst out with a laugh.
"You never cease to amaze me, Lord Bane."
"Don't call me that," he said.
"Why not?" she asked.
"Cordis has given all the students the rank of Dark Lord of the Sith." Seeing him wince, she stepped forward and wrapped her arms around his neck, looking up into his face.
"Bane," she breathed, "we're going to fight the Jedi. We're going to join Lord Khan's Brotherhood of Darkness."
He reached up and grasped her delicate hands in his own massive ones, then gently unwound her arms from around his neck. Puzzled, she offered no resistance as he brought his hands together at his chest, her own clasped between them. How could he make her understand? He was of the dark side now. Sirak's execution had been the final step. He had crossed the threshold. There was no going back. He would never hesitate again, never doubt again. The transformation he had begun when he'd first come to the academy was complete. He was Sith. Now, more than ever, he understood the failings of the Brotherhood.
"Khan is a fool, Githany,"
he said, staring intently into her eyes to read her expression. She recoiled slightly and tried to pull her hands away. He held them tight. "You've never even met Lord Khan," she said defensively. "I have. He's a great man, Bane. A man of vision."
"He's blind as an Orkellian cave slug," Bane insisted. "The Brotherhood of Darkness, this academy, everything the Sith have become is a monument to his ignorance."
He clasped her hands even more tightly.
"Come with me. There is nothing left for us on Korriban and only death on Rusan. But I know somewhere else we can go. A place where the dark side is still strong."
She squirmed her hands free and pulled away from him. "Lord Khan has united the Sith in a single glorious cause. We can join them on Rusan."
"Then go!" Bane spat. "Join the others on Rusan! Be united with them in their defeat!"
He turned and stormed angrily away as she called out,
"Wait, Bane! Wait!"
If she had made any move to follow him, he might have. Bane kicked open the door to Cordis's chamber. It slammed against the wall with a crash that reverberated down the hall. The Academy's master had been awake and already dressed, meditating on the mat in the center of his room. Now he leapt to his feet, anger darkening his face.
"What is the meaning of this?"
"Did you send Sirach to kill me?"
Bane blurted out. The time for subtlety was gone.
"What? Did something happen to Sirach?"
"I killed him. Yivra and Loke too. Their bodies are in the archives."
The shock and horror of his reaction made it clear that Cordis had known nothing about the attack.
"You did this on the eve of our departure for Rusan?"
he asked, his voice rising shrilly. A few of the other masters had gathered in the corridor outside, drawn by Bane's loud arrival. A handful of the students as well. Bane didn't care.
"You can go to Rusan," Bane snapped.
"I will have nothing to do with the Brotherhood of Darkness."
"You are a student of this academy,"
Cordis reminded him.
"You will do as you are told."
"I am a Dark Lord of the Sith," Bane countered. "I serve no one but myself."
Glancing over Bane's shoulder at the gathering crowd of curious onlookers, Cordis dropped his voice to a threatening whisper.
"We leave for Rusan tomorrow, Lord Bane. You will be coming with us. This is not a matter for discussion."
"I am leaving tonight,"
Bane replied, lowering his voice to match and mock the tone of Cordis's own.
"And none of you here is strong enough to stop me."
He turned his back on the head of the academy and walked slowly from the room. For a brief second, he felt the spurned master gathering the force, and Bane braced himself for a confrontation. But a second later, he felt the power fading away. At the threshold, he halted. When he spoke, he was addressing the assembled gawkers as much as Cordis.
"Someone here once told me the Darth title was no longer used because it promoted rivalry among the Sith. It gave the Jedi an easy target. It was easier to just abandon the custom. To have all the Sith Masters use the same title of Dark Lord."
He raised his voice slightly, speaking loud enough for all to hear.
"But I know the truth, Cordis. I know why none of you claims that name for yourself. Fear. You're cowards."
He half turned and looked back at Cordis.
"None of the Brotherhood is worthy of the Darth title. Least of all you."
There was a gasp from the assemblage. Some of the students stepped back, expecting some type of reaction. Of course, there was none. Shaking his head in disgust, Bane left them there. As he passed the other masters, Cassim stepped in front of him, placing a hand on his chest.
"Don't go,"
the Blade Master said. "Let's talk about this."
"If you just meet with Khan, you'll understand. That's all I ask, Bane."
"It's Darth Bane,"
he said, slapping the Twi'lek's hand away and pushing past him. Nobody else tried to stop him as he made his way through the temple's halls. Nobody tried to follow him, or even called out as he mounted the stairs to the small landing pad on the roof. There was only a single ship at the starport, the Valsin,
a T-class long-range personal cruiser. The blade-shaped vessel was one of the finest in the Sith fleet, equipped with the latest and most advanced technology. It had arrived just the day before, a gift from Khan to Cordis.